He is the cool scientist. They've let him out of the lab.
I'm cool, all right. It's pretty cool out there.
And I've been saying earlier on that you're going to talk to us about 3D printing. That'll change the world. What is 3D printing?
3D printing. I'm sure people see this and there's been reports about it. But really, I don't know if people have really copped on to how important this is. So we know what our regular printer is like. It's a 2D printer. So we put in our ink and we print something, comes out on paper, which is two-dimensional. Now, 3D is the world we live in. We live in three dimensions. It's got depth. It's like a cube, if you like. So that's the world we live in. Now, they've developed these printers that operate in 3D. So, for example, they could print a pistol. Controversially in America, that there have been these pistols that have been printed in this way, and they're like replica guns, but they look so accurate, they look so real, that people have been shot while trying to rob places with them. But you can apply this to everything now. This is the amazing thing. It's not just a case of putting in, say, plastic to make your gun. You can put in wood, you could put in concrete, you could put in absolutely any. You could be even put in living tissue and create literally anything. So it's amazing the technology that's being developed for this. For example, just to give you an idea of some of the things that they've done with these 3D printers so far, rocket engine parts, chocolate figures, replica pistols, I mentioned that, a house, a canal boat house in Holland was printed, two-seater car. People will remember Skyfall, the film. They wanted to create this Aston Martin, I think it is, 1964 car, and blow it up. So instead of getting one and doing that, they printed one, and it looked perfect, and they blew it up. Pizzas, you name it, even a bionic ear. So this is, they're putting in a mixture of living tissue with other artificial tissue, and they've actually printed this 3D bionic ear, which you can see on the front of the National Geographic magazine this month, actually. So, I mean, one of the holy grails, there's so much potential here, but one of the holy grails would be to take cells from a person that's ill, say with a heart condition, and to, instead of waiting for a donor heart, use these cells to actually load into your high-tech 3D printer, print yourself a heart. Quite amazing. So, and then let's take another thing. Like, we all like talking about houses in this country, I think. So there's just one example of how amazing this is. You could download, this is in the future, not too distant though, download your house plan off the internet, whatever type of house you like. You have a site bought, so you know you're lucky to have a site. You bring your printer onto the site, you have your house plans, you feed it into the printer, and you print your house. Walls, ceilings, the whole lot is printed. So you can put virtually anything.
But what about the interior nooks and crannies of a house?
Well, yes. I mean, the thing about it is that up to now, there's been moles. So a lot of the things that we do that are kind of complicated, there's moles and you put the moles together. But this actually, like with the ear, it's in 3D, but it's all in one piece because the materials are fused together using light or heat. So, you know, there's no traditional kind of sticking together of molds.
So if you, if you're in, I don't know, Granny's house or something, and you break some nice cup that she's had for about 50 years, you can go over to your computer, download the thing, give it into the 3D printer and take another one out, is it?
Yeah, but Granny's very clever, she might cop onto it. But no, you can produce something that would be very, very good. So they're saying it's like Gutenberg's printing press. And for high-tech industry in Ireland, just an Irish angle to this, there's lots of little companies that are doing high-tech things in Ireland, and they want to make say medical devices or things that can go into the body to do various things. This is ideal because they can get these printers and print a small number of bionic ears or whatever it is they're producing. And so it means that smaller companies can do their own high-tech manufacturing.
Right, amazing. That's 3D printing with a cool scientist here on the morning show. Now, we here at East Coast, and I'm sure many of you as well, were absolutely delighted that our colleague Ryan O'Neill, who was worried and there was a huge risk that he was going to develop early set Alzheimer's, he hasn't got the hereditary gene. It has skipped him, and we're delighted about that. And there was a documentary about it on RTE. But Alzheimer's, a frightening illness. But now you're going to tell us about got an Alzheimer's test in a DNA kit. What's this?
That's it. I mean, at the moment, the only way in this country, really, if you want to find out whether you're susceptible to Alzheimer's or cystic fibrosis, which is quite common in Ireland, is really to get a test done at the National Centre for Medical Genetics in Crumlin. And a few other hospitals do genetic screening as well. But what's happening now is that the world is changing fast, as we know, and there are companies that are providing what they call private DNA or genomics, is the fancy word, services. So essentially what you can get, there's a company called 23andMe, that's A-N-D-M-E, 23andMe, you can look them up, and they're one of the leaders, they're an American company, and they will send you a kit that you can just literally buy on the internet and get sent to you, and you put a little bit of your own saliva on the test, and you can get all kinds of information on there. You can get all kinds of reports, up to 100 different detailed reports just from a piece of your saliva that will tell you the risk you have for Alzheimer's disease, if you're worried about that, if it's in your family, hereditary cancers. It can also tell you something about the reaction to types, different types of drugs, maybe penicillin, that are, you know, drugs to treat epilepsy or hepatitis C. See if you have if you're carrying the gene for cystic fibrosis. So, for example, in Ireland, people might not know that they carry the gene for cystic fibrosis. That's our most common genetic inherited condition, I guess. And if you're carrying it and you meet another person that's carrying it, so you don't have cystic fibrosis yourself, they don't have cystic fibrosis, you get married, then there's a 1 in 4 chance your children will have cystic fibrosis. So it might be a good idea to get a test if you think, you know, it's in your family.
These be over-the-counter testing, will they?
This kit, and it will tell you this. There are downsides to this. Certain people will be a little bit worried because a lot of this information is going to be stored online. At the moment, there's 600,000 data sets of different people already online. The companies say it's for use for the GP, so only the GP will have access to this, or the family themselves. And of course, the medical people are saying, look, these tests are not 100% correct. They will give you...
Will they stand up in court?
I don't know. It hasn't been tested yet, as far as I know.
But an indicator...
They're not
100%, because they can't give you... It could be or it couldn't be.
Actually, no, I remember what happened there. Now, what happened was that in the States, the FDA brought them to book because they were making claims that they felt they couldn't stand over. So they had to change their claims from saying something like, this will tell you definitely if you are going to get Alzheimer's, to saying, this will give you the risk. Okay. So it's not claiming to give you the 100%
definitive answer. Yeah. The Cool Scientist Sean Duke is here. He's going to talk to us in just a second about two women who've given birth to babies in wombs they were in themselves. The Cool Scientist Sean Duke is here. He's going to tell us about two women who gave birth to babies in womb they were in themselves. Explain.
But yes, this story, it stems from the fact that there are quite a number of women. They estimate in the UK there's 15,000 women, so that gives us an idea, maybe, you know, 1,500 women maybe in Ireland that are born without a womb or have had to have it removed for some reason, perhaps ovarian cancer, and they want to have a child. So the only way really that they could have done that is by using IVF and a surrogacy option, another mother growing the child. But now this thing has come along in Sweden, and Sweden, of course, as we know, are very advanced in these fertility treatments. And what they're doing is they're getting donations of wombs to the women. And in some cases, the donations have been made by their mothers, because that actually helps, because there's less rejection, there's more shared genetic material. So it's an easier process if it goes from the mother to the daughter. And two women have had babies, boys, recently born 1 month ago, two British women in Sweden, and they're now at home apparently in the UK, and they're doing well. So these wombs that the two boys were born in, their two boys, were the same wombs that they grew in and came out of themselves, which is quite amazing. They were born by C-section 1 month early, so that's not too bad, a little bit early. And apparently there's quite a queue now of people that are waiting. This is new technology. Nine of these have been done in Sweden, and said there are plans to do this in America, Australia and Britain, but they haven't actually done it yet. So this is very, very new. It is pretty amazing gift that a mother can give to her daughter.
Certainly, yes.
Yeah. So it's great. It's great. And one of the women I know was one of the mothers was 61, so I guess, I don't know if there's an age limit on it, but that was fine. It worked perfectly well. And out of the 9 womb transplants that they've done in Sweden, in Gothenburg, 7 have succeeded. So that's pretty good. And 7 of the 9 women who did it had IVF. So, it's people maybe that have gone through IVF and it hasn't worked, so they're on to their last option. And then mum has come in and said, listen, I'm going to help out here. So, well done.
Gosh, the pace of change.
It sure is. And I mean, you think of some things in this area, like what they have been talking about for years is actually growing a child in an artificial womb. And this was science fiction, of course, for years, but that's going to become reality. So, maybe people who don't want to go through 9 months of pregnancy, you could have your IVF and then grow your baby in your little tank there.
Right, and you could incorporate your 3D printer then as well. Yeah. Sean, great to talk to you as always. Okay. All the science stories available where?
Science Spinning. That's SeanDuke.com.
SeanDuke.com, Science Spinning. Okay, thank you.